Hey there, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo. Welcome to the channel. So this is kind of a rare video, but it is currently 2 a.m. Eastern time here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I am in my hotel room, and I just came from WrestleMania 40 night one. So I decided to do a quick review slash live experience at the show, and let me tell you, it has been a crazy freaking day, and there's just lots going on in the wrestling world. So the reason why it's this late is I did stay for the press conference, which, by the way, was freaking awesome, primarily for one particular reason for me, was that I got to ask Dwayne The Rock Johnson the very first question of the press conference. And that was very exciting because I was hoping to ask The Rock a question, but given that it's The Rock, a lot of people are going to want to ask him a question too. And that media room was definitely full. And keep in mind, there was so much media at WrestleMania that not even all media was allowed inside the presser because there was too many. So I made it in, and I was thinking like, oh, there's no way I'm gonna get a chance to ask The Rock anything, right? And so I sit down. I'm like kind of in this like moment of like, oh shit, you know, like there's a possibility here. And part of me was like, okay, let me read the room and see what happens, right? So The Rock sits down and the first thing he says is ladies first. And I'm like, holy shit. Right away, I like raise up my hand. Hi. I think there was like a body jolt in me. I raise up my hand. I'm like looking around trying to see if the microphone goes. And then The Rock points at me and he says like, you know, like you're the one, right? I'm like, oh my God. So they finally bring the microphone to me. And I asked him just like straightforward, you know, how he felt coming out of his match. You guys can, of course, watch his very great answer that he gave to me in the actual presser that is in the here on my channel. But it was a very, very cool opportunity to be able to get to ask The Rock a question. So that was honestly one of the highlights of today. And today was a very, very entertaining day. I also got to be at the ECW Arena, and I got to go out on in the ring, on the stage, and all of the people were there. It was completely full. I got chopped by Thunder Rosa. I mean, today has been a day, guys. So, but getting to ask The Rock a question was very freaking cool. And getting to be the first one to ask the question was very freaking cool. So I'm very thankful that I got that opportunity to do that. But anyways, we need to talk about this show. So from the live event standpoint, I'll start off with, this was a very, very cold show. Now, you don't need me to tell you that because they told you that on commentary a million freaking times. It was almost like if the Weather Channel was sponsoring WWE because that's how many times they announced the weather. But legit, guys, it was cold. Now, I'm not entirely too sure how the crowd came off on TV. I had some people like on my Twitter timeline telling me that they kind of felt it was a little bit like not that great. Now, they did put the sound for us in the press room and it did sound all right, but it's different listening to it in the press room and then listening to it on TV. So on the press room, it sounded pretty good. And basically, like, I was sitting in the press box, thank God, because there's no way I would be able to sit anyplace else. Like, I'm from Los Angeles, guys. I can't handle this weather. That's why I'm wearing a fucking fake fur coat right now in my own hotel room because I'm still chilly. But anyways, in the press box, you can't really get the total experience when it comes to the atmosphere because you're literally in a box. Like, it's not an open space. And so there's like glass doors and stuff. And so it was a little bit hard to kind of gauge some of the audience reactions. There were some moments where you can totally gauge it, but there was times where you really couldn't. And so anyway, so I don't know how it came off on TV. You guys can let me know in the comments, but I thought it was all right based on what my experience was like being there. And so I'm going to kind of go over the crowd, the card, and just kind of give my quick thoughts. Now, I didn't take any notes, so I'm so sorry if I forget anything, but I'm just going to go ahead and run through it and get through it like that. So here we go. The first match that opened up the show, which a lot of us were pretty much expecting for it to open the show, was Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. Now, this one here, I thought, first and foremost, I thought this was the perfect spot for them on this card because, one, there was already buzz about this match opening up the show, but for it to actually open up the show with the very cool entrances, especially the one that Rhea Ripley got, I thought that was really great. Becky Lynch with her gear where she had, like, writings of her book on her own gear, I thought that was really cool. But what I liked in particular in this match was that all of the moments that they had in this, all of the near falls that they had in this, they felt so strong. Like, every time they went for the count, like, I bit into it. And I think that was the thing that really stood out to me in this match, and I really thought that they delivered in the sense that this has been a sort of a dream match now for a very long time. So to see them go out there in the opening match and have the hard-hitting bout that they did, I thought it was one of the best matches of the night. I would put it up there in the top three best matches of today. And the top three matches, they're all so freaking different. So at this point, it kind of just depends on what wrestling you like, honestly. But Rhea Ripley winning this match was definitely the right way to go because Rhea Ripley's star is just rising. People want to still see her as women's world champion. She's just going to reach new heights. Becky Lynch is a made woman. She's the man. I didn't really think she needed to get this victory, but from the looks of it, it's also possibly still not over between these two, and I think they can still do a lot more, and I don't think this will be the last match that we see of them. And Rhea Ripley also kind of teased that in the press conference as well, and I got to ask her a question too, which was funny because I was like, she's kind of just chilling there on the presser. And I was like, oh, here, Denise. They handed me the mic. And I was like, oh, shit. Let me think of a question. So I literally thought of my question on the spot. Like, I had nothing until they handed me the mic. And I was like, oh, my God, here we go. I'm just going to shoot a blank here. But it ended up working very well. And Rhea gave me a really good answer. So it all kind of just worked out. All right. So really great match. Really enjoyed that. Next match is the six-pack tag team ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. This was kind of wild, guys. This match, I will tell you, freaking over-delivered. Over-delivered. There were so many great moments in this. I thought they got really creative. I thought New Catch Republic did great. I thought all the teams freaking did great here. So many good moments. I mean, God, the Tommaso Ciampa spot off the top of the ladder. The Johnny Gargano DDT that he gave. Tyler Bate doing that spinning airplane. I think it was on Finn Balor. Oh my gosh, the double moonsault off the ladder. I'm trying to think of everything that happened in that match, and I can't even think of everything, but it was just such a freaking fun match, and because of all of the spots and everything, I really think that match kind of got people, like, re-excited, like, oh, hey, we're here at WrestleMania, like, let's get loud, and I think that match really injected a new little life into the crowd, which was the second match, so it's not like it needed life, but I did think that the match sort of reminded you that you were at WrestleMania when you're getting, like, these big spot foo type of thing. So I really enjoyed this. We had freaking Austin Theory and Grayson Waller win one set of the tag titles, and then we had The Miz and R-Truth win the other set. So that was very interesting, especially because Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, I think I had predicted that they would win, if I remember correctly, because I just kind of felt like they had an opportunity there, and they really haven't been, like, it hasn't been going so great for them, but at the same time, I feel like they got so much personality and so much potential there, and so we'll see what they do with the tag titles, but I thought this match was absolutely freaking tremendous. They did a whole freaking lot. All right, the next match was Rey Mysterio and Andrade with The next match, Rey Mysterio and Andrade defeating Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. So this one here, lots of boos for Dominic. This match was very fun. And this was the one where we ended up seeing freaking Jason Kelsey come in and help out Rey Mysterio. It was so freaking funny. Part of me was hoping that the other guy was Travis Kelsey because I was like, if it was Travis, there's a chance that Taylor Swift is watching WrestleMania. And I thought that would have been freaking cool. Although there's probably still a chance, because if Jason was there, then maybe Travis was like, let me watch my brother at WrestleMania, and maybe Taylor's with him. I don't know. So I'm just trying to make scenarios in my head where Taylor Swift is watching WrestleMania, you know? But this match was another good one, too. I thought everybody looked freaking great. They freaking killed it. I'm trying to think if there was anything in particular, and I'm probably blanking right now because it's past 2 in the morning, but and I'm probably going to remember afterwards, but regardless, I thought this match was pretty fun. Fudge, I'm trying to remember if there was anything that I specifically wanted to say more about it. I'll remember later. I'm just going to have to fast forward to the next one. Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso. Now, unfortunately, I did think that this was the weakest match on the card. I thought this was the weakest match because the whole entire time, I think we pretty much knew that, first of all, I think most people knew Jey Uso was going to win. I didn't think that there was enough. It's so weird. I can't even say there wasn't enough of a build to this match. You can't say that because these are two brothers and there's such a long history with the bloodline. But I think the right way to phrase that instead is that a lot of the attention was not on them. Like, I think this could have been made into a far bigger deal considering that they're two brothers facing each other. They're part of the bloodline. The bloodline is part of two major matches here at WrestleMania. So I almost feel like they could have just made this feel a little bit more serious. Instead, everybody like was cracking jokes instead about freaking Dude Wipes sponsoring this match. So I hate that when I think of this match, I think of Dude Wipes. So I guess it worked. So congratulations to their advertising marketing team. It definitely worked to get Dude Wipes sponsoring that because now I'm going to think about Dude Wipes. But I just didn't think this match was too great. And then the moment where Jimmy was sort of trying to swerve Jey and try to make him seem like he was asking for forgiveness, I think all of us, like nobody really fell for that. I feel like maybe you tried to fall for it, but like no one really fell for it. Like the buildup to that moment, and that was the key moment in the match, I feel, the buildup to that moment wasn't that strong. And so then when the moment happened, everyone was like, yeah, yeah, we already know you're going to betray him. And then he did, he fooled him and whatever, right? So, you know, I think that this match just lacked, it lacked a lot of spark in it. It just didn't have it. So Jey and Jimmy, unfortunately, were definitely the weakest match of the night. And moving on to the 6-woman tag team match. This was Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, Naomi versus Damage Control, Io Sky, and Damage Control, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. My bad. So this one here, first and foremost, in the press conference, Bianca, Jade, and Naomi were having the best freaking time. Like, it looked like we were watching them have brunch because that's how much they were, like, laughing and just having a good time. And there was something that they spoke about, Bianca and Jade. They spoke about how they basically they have an understanding. I guess when Jade first came into WWE, she said that one of the first people that contacted her was Bianca Belair. And Bianca basically told her, like, you know, there's going to be people that compare us to each other, but it doesn't really need to be that way. And Jade Cargill explained it so perfectly. She said there are going to be some things that are meant for Bianca, and there are other things that are going to be meant for me. And I just thought it was so cool to see both of them who are going to be pitted against each other so much, regardless of whether or not they're friends. They are going to be pitted against each other all the freaking time. And they basically seem to have a really good understanding of how not to let that get to them and how to, instead of being enemies or wanting to root against each other, instead rooting for each other to lift each other up. And I thought that was really freaking nice. And it came across as genuine. It didn't come across as like fake feminist bullshit. Like, it did not come across that way at all. It came across as very genuine. And I think that was the thing that really stuck with me from that presser. But the match itself, though, I mean, the entrances, by the way, were so freaking cool. You had all three girls come out in this, like, platform, and they looked really cool, all of them in their getup and their gear. They looked phenomenal. Then they all walked down into the stage. It's this really cool moment. And, of course, like, Bianca's out there. For her team, Bianca was pretty much doing most of the work, and Naomi too. So those two really carried the match there. Now, with Jade, everyone kind of knew that we were going to wait for the hot tag for Jade. Jade finally gets the hot tag, and she goes out there. She hits a couple of moves. She gets the win for her team, and that was it. But here's the thing. I saw a lot of people on my Twitter timeline kind of being like, oh, I was disappointed, blah, blah, blah. That was it. But honestly, that's what I expected. That's exactly what I expected them to do. And I didn't hate it because, again, I expected that to be the outcome, the layout for Jade. They're keeping things really, really simple with Jade, guys, because Jade, it's not so much her pro wrestling, but rather her as a star. She's a star because she's got an aura and because of the way she looks. And so because of that, they keep her in ring on the minimal side. And so she still has a lot. She still has a lot to learn, of course, but she can go out there and she can do what needs to be done, and she looks really good doing it. So shout out to Jade on that, her getting the victory for her team. That was very, very cool. All right, next up we have Sami Zayn and Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. This is another one that I think a lot of people saw the writing on the wall, and that was that Gunther was going to be losing his longest, you know, Intercontinental Championship reign, a historic reign for Gunther, lost to Sami Zayn. And they basically did like this like Rocky story where he overcomes the obstacles. He even defeats his own demons, and he trains and he prepares and he mentally prepares. He physically prepares for this big, big, you know, scary man, Gunther. And he goes out there and his wife's out there watching him, and he does whatever he possibly can. And even though Gunther's out there whipping his butt, Sami Zayn is able to get that victory. And even though he took like so many freaking power bombs at one point, God. But Sami Zayn wins, and it was a very, very nice moment. And I, even though I was sad that Gunther lost the championship, I was still very happy for Sami, and that's kind of how I expected to feel coming out of that. So there you go. That was that. And the next match that I want to talk about is the main event. That's the last one that we had. My God, I'm just seeing here on Wikipedia, it says it was 44 minutes. I had no idea it went that long, although I'm not surprised. So, of course, it was The Rock and Roman Reigns teaming up against each other to face Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Now, holy cow, I cannot recap to you everything that happened in this matchup, but some of the moments that I really remember and just my overall thoughts on this is that I thought the first half of the match was very slow, and I started to think, oh my God, this match is not what I thought it was going to be. And I was starting to get a little bit bummed, honestly. And they went out to the crowd, and I'm like, okay, things are getting a little bit interesting. But then they come back, and it's still a minute until things finally get going. And then out of nowhere, it was like someone said, turn the volume up. And they freaking blasted that thing. It was louder than a house party. That's how much they blasted this match. It went from 0 to 100 out of freaking nowhere, out of the blue. And all of a sudden, like, this becomes like WWE knows how to do drama. They know how to do these crazy storytelling and these matches where it's just freaking dramatic. And all of the dramatics were here in this match. We got so much moments where I legitimately thought, now keep in mind that I'm wanting Cody to finish his story. So I wanted Cody to lose this match with Seth, because I worried that if Cody and Seth won this match, I worried that meant Cody wouldn't be able to finish his story. So it was kind of like I was cheering in reverse for a specific reason. And so when there was moments where they teased that Cody was going to win, I was like, dude, no. I think at one point they even teased Cody pinning The Rock, and I'm like, no, you cannot have this happen, because then that would mean he wouldn't pin Roman Reigns, right? That's what was kind of going through my head. And so that really, really had me. The moment where we kept seeing, by the way, The Rock was not letting the referee do his job partially. He had to be impartial to The Rock and stuff, so that sort of played into the match a whole lot. But the moment where Seth Rollins moved Cody Rhodes out of the way and Roman Reigns ended up spearing The Rock, I was like, Holy shit. That was the moment where I think I like jumped out of my seat. This match was very freaking entertaining, guys. They just went through it all. This was a lot. This was a lot, but in the end, I think it was worth it because even though, again, it was a long match and it probably didn't need to be that long, I think at the end of it, people left feeling good. I think people left feeling like, holy shit, anything can happen in professional wrestling. And this was a perfect example of that. And they made it work, guys. They made it work. The story was there. The dramatics were there. This ended up playing out very freaking nicely. So loved it. The Bloodline wins. And again, I mentioned Roman and The Rock do take part in the press conference. So check that out on my channel. And that, my friends, was WrestleMania Night 1. Now, I know this was a way shorter review than I normally do, but again, it's 2 in the morning and I'm still uploading content and I didn't want this file to be so long so that it would actually upload on YouTube. So I want to thank you guys so much for watching this video and let me know your thoughts on WrestleMania Night 1 in the comment section below, and I will probably do a Night 2 video since I'm not leaving until Monday morning. So thank you guys so much, and do not forget to subscribe. Check out the WrestleMania content on here, and I'll see you on the next video. Bye.